welcome to the 8th episode of the Allegra Escorts Collective podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Thomas, here with our co-host, Evangeline Baudin, and a very special guest today, who is Cynthia Lux, the Allegra Escorts Collective third-party booking agent. How are you, Cynthia?
I'm good, Nikki. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for joining us. I mean, we're moving away from the previous format, which was mostly just interviewing other service providers, and now we've decided to bring in someone who is not a direct service provider herself, although clients that call you often think that you are, don't they?
Yes, all the time.
So you're doing pretty well today?
Yes, I'm doing great today. I'm glad that you guys decided to have me. Mm-hmm. No, and also that it's the 8th podcast that we're doing, and I'm a part of it since that's my lucky number.
8 is your lucky number, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you ever tell that to clients when they call you?
Sometimes. If I'm familiar with you, might be friendly, you know, I always make a joke, you should book 8 hours.
That's not the worst idea.
No, it isn't.
How often do clients book 8-hour calls when they call you?
Maybe not 8. They'll usually go higher if they're going to book something longer, maybe 6, 12, you know, overnights and things like that, which is always good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. So why don't you start out by telling us a little about yourself and how you got into this line of work?
Well, how I got into this was I got sick of my corporate job and didn't want to do that anymore. So I quit my job, traveled for a little while, and then when I got back to Toronto, I just happened to get into contact with somebody who needed a booker, and that's where it all started.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked for a couple of different agencies before?
Yes.
And this is your first time working for a collective?
Yes.
Okay. And how would you say that it's different if you had to, you know, pinpoint something?
The main difference I would say between a collective and an agency itself is actually more the control that the SP does have over when they want to work, how they want to work, where they want to work, which I think bodes very well for this type of model because it isn't completely client-centered, which also is the same way a lot of businesses are going to as well nowadays. Like, you know, before it would be the customer's always right, but now there's at least some open dialogue, and which is great because it allows people to have a little bit more flexibility and choice in what they would like to spend their money on.
A little more like a conversation when it comes to booking appointments or making purchases as opposed to just meeting demands.
Yes, which I find is a healthy way to basically have this relationship. Because again, you have to realize this is, you're dealing with people. So you can't really be telling people what to do without their consent, which is the most important part.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say that that's critical in pretty much all interactions between human beings regardless, but even more so when the services are, shall we say, so very personal. Definitely. Okay, well, we've decided to shift around the 5 questions that we normally ask for service providers, and kind of keeping the same format, but changing it a little bit to fit your specific role. So why don't we jump in with the first one, which is the nicest client interaction that you've ever had. Why don't you tell us about that?
The nicest client interaction I can say I ever had was I had gone on vacation for a couple of weeks, and when I came back, there was a regular client that I would usually book, and as soon as I picked up the phone, he was screaming, going, "Oh my gosh, I missed you! Where have you been?" And was like worried that I had left or something like that. So I found that was really, really nice because it is good to build a relationship with people because then that way, you know, for me who's doing the booking, it makes me feel a lot comfortable for the SP that's going into the session with that person too as well.
Definitely. So when you talk to both providers and clients, you feel that you can develop a little bit of a rapport with them that helps smooth things over, you find?
Yes, I find that. And also too, as well, sometimes clients need to be put at ease, especially if they're new. sometimes clients tell me that they're going through something personal and exactly what it is, so then this way I can better recommend somebody to them, so then they do have an enjoyable time. And
so that you can match the personalities.
Because I find matching personalities, chemistry, is a big part, compatibility, so.
I think you do that quite well.
Thank you.
So eventually, you know, somebody who is an independent provider as well, someone who works with the Allegra Collective, which applies to all of the providers that are with Allegra, of course, do you find that you end up developing a strong rapport with a booking agent as well as the type of, as well as with the client? Like, how would you contrast the different relationships that you have?
Well, one is a coworker, mm-hmm. and the other one is a client. I mean, so that relationship, they're both vastly different. One, while they both have the ability to be friends, one is like a peer sort of friend, mm-hmm. and the other one, well, I mean, there's lots of different ways for that to go, an intimate friend or a confidant friend, like, you know, it's just like having any other coworker.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. So let's move on to the next question. What is the funniest client interaction you've ever had? And I know that I've had a lot of funny ones, and Evangeline has talked about a couple of funny experiences, so you must have something interesting to bring to the table on this one.
I hear a lot of interesting things, but mm-hmm. I think the funniest one was a regular client who used to book, who actually heard a song with my name in it and had to call to sing me the song.
That's funny. Who was the artist?
I don't even remember. It was an old song of, like, I've never heard of that, but I thought it was really sweet. And then he's like, I just thought I'd call to, like, brighten your day. That
Did
was
he
it.
Sing it well?
No. But it was the thought that was really important.
I know Blue Rodeo has a song called Cynthia, mm-hmm. and I'm not even going to try and sing it because I know I would butcher it, but it's a weird type of song, and it talks about, sitting on a lake and watching spaceships up in the sky and stuff like that. Is that the song?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so.
You know, I was like, I'm like, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Let me take you to something lake. We can watch the spaceship and maybe it'll take us on a trip. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So I'm a Blue Rodeo fan as well. And I think that was from 5 Days in July, which was one of their better albums.
Okay, I'm going to make sure
so
I listen to that.
So if he calls
tonight.
You up again and sings that song, you can say, hey, that's Blue Rodeo, isn't okay. it? And you can sound like a fan and make him feel that much better.
I know.
So that brings up another question. So when clients do funny and cute things like that for you, do you ever, like, pretend to be a little bit more aware of the stuff that they're doing? Or let me think how I can rephrase that. Do you find that clients really find it important to show their humanity with you the same way that they might with an SP?
Yes, I feel it is important for them to do that. And I've also found clients that do, like you said, show their humanity when they make first contact with me tend to be the clients that the SPs that they see absolutely enjoy seeing. Mm-hmm. So there's never really an issue. Usually sometimes if I'll even tell an SP who might not be on schedule, like, oh, I just talked to so-and-so, they wanted to see you today, but I know you're not on. There's been times that they'll be like, yes, sure, I can squeeze that in. So it kind of works both ways.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. So do you find there's a pretty strong correlation between clients that are really nice and friendly with you and clients who are liked by the SPs that they see?
Yes, yes. I find clients who usually SPs say are great clients are usually some of the easiest, nicest people that I speak to.
Hmm. Evangeline, do you find that a client who is fun during the booking process tends to be a client that you enjoy as well?
I think it's a little bit different and a little bit more varied, mm-hmm. Because they're talking to the same person when they're booking as they are during the call. Mm-hmm. So they've maybe already tried to impress me earlier. You know, like it's a little bit of a different relationship, I think. And they maybe are looking to save that openness and that sharing for later in the call as opposed to in an email or a text message.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as somebody who gets bookings through the Allegra Collective, can you think of any ways that clients who have booked through our third-party booking representative differ from the ones who contact you directly?
No.
No?
No, of course not. They're the same. They're just people.
Okay. So it's more just the procedure as opposed to the person, right? So there's not like a certain type of person that books one way versus another?
Oh, no. I would never even try to guess that. Hmm. I cannot categorize people. But I just assume that it has to do with what's convenient, what they're comfortable with, and what they're aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the great things that I like about this collective is that we provide both options to clients. And I agree with you. I think that the people tend to be, it's hard to differentiate them, but I think a lot of it has to do with scheduling, right? Like, I find that people who have tried to book me through Allegra and have done so successfully tend to be ones who just find themselves with a certain amount of availability during the day and contact Cynthia and would like to book someone who's available, and sometimes will book me that way. But the ones who are very insistent on booking me through Allegra tend to be disappointed because I don't have as much availability that way. Okay, Cynthia, the next question that I have for you is, what is one thing that you wish everybody knew about this industry?
The one thing that I wish everybody would know about this industry is that it is an industry full of human beings who have feelings, who make choices to be a part of this industry. So they should respect that. It's hard work. It's a lot of emotional labor. And just to be kind to them, not to judge them.
Well, that's a good thing. I think that a lot of people... No, I know it sounds a little bit saccharine on the surface, but when you mention emotional labor, I have found that the expectations of emotional labor have increased dramatically.
I will say I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of different platforms now for you to communicate with a provider.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some ways that I find some people might be taking a little bit of advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, it is emotional labor. And now I feel like it's getting to a point sometimes where people expect to have that constant line of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel that clients should understand that, yes, you know, it is nice to be able to interact with this person, but they also do have, you know, a life outside of work as well, just like you do. So, you know, respect that boundary,
mm-hmm.
which I feel is really important.
Definitely. I would think that convenience of having a whole bunch of different platforms in which you can communicate with somebody is good from a business perspective until, as you said, it becomes taken advantage of. And my modus operandi when I was working for the first 6-7 years, I think, was only email, no other form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give out my phone number, I wouldn't take text messages, I wouldn't generally send text messages, it would just be email, and it would just be at certain times of the day, and I feel like that's no longer an option the way that it used to be.
Oh yes, it's definitely changed a lot over the years, and it's still going in a good direction, but I feel that there needs to be basically social etiquette
mm-hmm.
that needs to be relearned around these types of communication that you can have.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's move on to the fourth question, which is, one thing that you wish you knew when you first started being a third-party booking agent?
One thing I wish I knew before would be, don't take the nasty things that people say personally.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, sometimes there are some days you do get these awful calls. And you just have to kind of let it go, because, you know, don't let one bad apple spoil the bunch. And I think it all just kind of depends, because I would say, not saying, no one take this the wrong way, what I'm about to say, but there has been a difference in the clientele that I found I've talked to when I was with specifically an agency compared to clients that I speak with who call the collective.
Interesting. Can you elaborate a little bit?
I would say when I was booking for an agency, the clients were a little bit more demanding and very curt, as I can say, in their demands, and just expected things to happen right away. And then on the opposite side, there's clients that I book through the collective who want to know exactly how the collective works. Some of them are actually excited that this is a model that is now available, because they feel the providers are getting a lot more choice. And also, they are a lot more respectful, which I always love.
So would you say that's part of the culture of agency bookings, shall we say? Like, is that something that has always been the case, or is it just changed?
I would say yes, because I remember having a call with somebody, and they said that they always booked through an agency. And with the collective, of course, you know, the SP might not be available that very second. But a call can be arranged, and was told that why do I even have to ask the provider for their permission if they wanted to take the call or not? They should just go ahead and do it, because I told them, and I was a little thrown back by that, but...
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was a joy to actually see in person. And I think I should point out that we're using a bit of an equivocation here with call versus call, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you talk about a call, most of the time you're talking about a phone call that you receive, as opposed to the more common term that Evangeline and I would use, which is call to reference an actual booking in which we spend time with a client. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy was... expecting, like, he was surprised that you had to ask the SP whether or not she was available.
And he said this would never happen to him if he called an agency, and I was a little thrown back by that.
I'm confident that you dealt with that very well.
With considerably more social grace than I would, I imagine.
Yes, I put on my best sin voice and explained to him why that statement was unacceptable.
Okay. And did he listen?
He did apologize, because I do sometimes have to educate people on how to speak to people on a regular basis. Because, you know, like I always say, you're dealing with a human being. So respect that.
Well, and you deal with a whole bunch of different kinds of human beings, right? Mm-hmm. You definitely need a lot of patience and have a lot of patience.
And I'm going to take up kickboxing.
Just so that it comes through in your voice that you are a capable kickboxer who can kick the ass of anybody who, you know, acts in an uncouth manner, shall we say. Interesting. Okay. Let's move on to the fifth question. And this one you can go on for as long as you like. You don't have to limit it to one. But what is one piece of booking advice that you would give to clients?
I'm actually going to give a few pieces of booking advice.
Bring it on.
First of all, please make an introduction. Hey, hi, baby. That's you wouldn't walk up to somebody and just start talking right away. And it actually kind of sets the tone to where the conversation's going to go. Mm-hmm. Don't call from a blocked number. Mm-hmm. If you are going to send a text message, please include all the information you're asking for. So it's not one piece at a time.
Yeah.
Yes. And as well, the other thing that I would say is what I've been saying through most of it. Just be respectful. Be polite. Because you catch more bees with honey. I don't know.
No, that's true. It's true.
It's very true.
Yeah.
I've never understood why anybody would want to catch flies. The metaphor has always confused me. Because, like, what's the point? Why are you catching these flies in the first place?
Yeah, that's why I went with bees instead.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so...
is that because we're all bees and we're really interesting and useful, but if you, like, get on our bad side, we'll sting you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that.
I think I can roll with that, too. So what would an ideal interaction with you be? Like, let's say that I am the phone booking third-party agent. Mm-hmm. Why don't you pretend to be the ideal client so that people can actually listen to what you would like to hear? Do you want to give this a try?
Yes, sure. Let's
okay,
do this.
Okay, so let's pretend that I'm on the phone. Hello, Allegra. How can I help you?
Hi. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great. I actually had visited your website mm-hmm. and looked at the schedule.
Okay.
I see... Evangeline is available today mm-hmm. and possibly tomorrow. I'm free between this time and this time, and I would like to schedule a 2-hour booking. Would
okay.
that be possible?
Yes, it certainly would. As you know, our providers are independent and aren't always available on short notice, but mm-hmm. thankfully you've given me quite a bit of notice, so I should be able to make that work. Would I be able to get back to you after I've confirmed the details with Evangeline?
Yes, sure. This is my phone number that you can reach me at.
Okay.
And if either of you need any more information from me, mm-hmm. I will be glad to provide that.
Okay, well, is this your first time contacting us?
Yes, it is the first time I'm contacting you.
Mm-hmm. And how is it that you found out about us?
Actually, I had seen Nikki Thomas.
Okay.
And happened to be on Twitter and see the both of you talking. So mm-hmm. that's how. So if you want, I can provide that as a reference for you.
Okay, well, references are always good. They certainly help us. And I can check in with Nikki Thomas and find out if she has anything to say. And in the meantime, is there anything that you'd like to tell me about yourself or anything that you would like to request in terms of your get together with Evangeline?
I just wanted to know if she'd like me to bring anything to the session.
Yes.
You know, maybe some chocolate.
Aww,
see, my
sweet.
Brain automatically went towards like toys or things like that. But hey, you know, nothing wrong with some chocolate.
Yeah, but sometimes that does happen. Mm-hmm. And they always ask, like, you know, do they like this? Something from this bakery.
I like dark chocolate with raspberry filling.
I'm not so big on chocolate, but I love cheese. Oh. I hate to say it, but if I had to choose between cheese and chocolate, I would choose cheese. Every day, you know, it's every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Oh, wow. I can't eat chocolate and I can't eat cheese.
Well, just don't tell
you
that
like
to
tea.
Clients when they contact
yes.
you.
Yes.
You like tea? Okay, so if a client wanted to bring something nice for you, they would bring tea?
Mm-hmm.
Has a client ever brought anything for you?
Yes. Somebody has.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
And I was like, oh, this is really sweet.
That is a great mm-hmm. way to become a favorite client of a third-party booking agent. Make sure to bring them a little something as well.
No, you know, you don't have to, but it's appreciated.
Well, you know what, Cynthia? I'm really glad that you were able to join us on the podcast. And thank you for modeling that interaction for us. Hopefully clients who have had difficulties booking in the past might listen to that and get some ideas into how they can be a better client later. And For those who have been afraid or uncertain how to book with a third-party booking agent, I think that illustrates it quite well.
Yeah, it's very simple. Just introduction, give some information, and that's it.
And lots of notice.
Yes, lots of notice.
Awesome. Evangeline, is there anything that you wanted to add to this discussion today?
No, I think Cynthia's great and hit all of the nails on the head.
Perfect. Okay, well, thanks again for joining us today, Cynthia.
Thanks for having me.
And Evangeline, thank you again for being my co-host this afternoon. So I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you to everybody who's been tuning in. 8 episodes is quite a lot, and I'm glad that we've been able to establish this as a somewhat regular thing. And we are planning to have this podcast broadcast on a number of new platforms as well. So if this happens to be the first time that you're hearing us, you can go onto our SoundCloud page and listen to all of the archived episodes. And hopefully we'll be able to start pumping these out 2 or 3 per month instead of the 1 or 2 per month that we've been doing so far. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a great day.